I'm Norman Barth. I'm the executive director of Lutheran World Relief, the Lutheran Relief and Development Organization for the ELCA, as well as the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, living in New York area. Prior to this position, I was for 25 years a foreign service officer with the Department of State, and served in Iceland and twice in Germany and Belgium, twice in South Africa, and once in Lesotho beside tours in Washington. There are two books that you don't obviously have to buy, but that I thought would enhance your understanding of some of the issues that we're going to talk about during this next period of time. They're both available in our bookstore. One of them is The State of the World by Lester Brown. It's an annual. He first came out with it in 1984, and ever since he's come out with the book. Covers his views of what he thinks is troubling the world. For example, this one has got halting land degradation, re-examining the world food prospects, enhancing global security, rethinking transportation, protection of the ozone. It's in the area of problems that the world is facing. It's in there that you'll read, for example, that 23 billion tons of topsoil a year are being blown off the earth, and the problems that comes with it. The other book is one that you should read whether you are in this course or any place, and that's Our Common Future. It's by the Brundtland Commission. She is now the Prime Minister of Norway, Gro Harlem Brundtland. She was a chairperson of a United Nations commission looking at the environment and development. And it's really, for anyone living on this planet, it really should be on your bookshelf. Talks about the problems that the world is facing, both from the north and from the south. We often talk about east-west, but the problems many times are spoken in terms of east-west when they're really north-south. North being above the equator and south being roughly below it, but it's also the rich north and the poor south. This is, I think, a must, really. And I thought then I would also just tell you quickly what we're going to look at least this week. Although I will be here, if I'm not thrown off campus prior to that, for 2 weeks. We're going to look at, and you're going to take a little test this afternoon, this evening, about just to have you focus some of your ideas. What do you think about some of the global issues facing the United States? And I apologize immediately to our Canadian friends, but the survey that I'm going to ask you just to take, and we're not going to keep score or anything roughly. We maybe will, doesn't matter what you reply to some of these questions except the truth. So we're going to do that this afternoon. Tomorrow we'll be looking at the other world, a overview of third world realities. That's the world that Lutheran World Relief works in. We work in Asia, Africa, and Latin America. And it's a world completely apart from anything we know here in North America. On Wednesday, the title is Buddy, Can You Spare 13 Trillion Dimes? Which is the size of the international debt, $1.3 trillion. And we'll look at some of the anomalies in that area of international debt. There will be, if you haven't followed it, there will be some surprises. For example, do you know that the South is sending to the North $43 billion every year in principal or in interest repayment? And we think the flow is from the North to the South. The reality is quite different. On Thursday, we're going to look at a world at risk. I titled it The Anatomy of a Murder, and that is how we are killing this planet Earth right now. And then on Friday, the 16th of June, I had forgotten that it was the beginning of the Soweto Uprising in 1977 when I was in South Africa. But the title is Africa, a Troubled Continent, and we'll be looking at that continent, which is four times the size of the United States, three times the size of our population. Well, the highest birth rate in the world is in Kenya, which is 4% a year, which means if you do the rule of 72 and you divide 4 into 72, you come up with, I don't know, 17 or 18 years, the population of Kenya will double. So we'll look at that. All right. I've tried to plan as well as I can on this, but even the best of plans sometimes go awry. I'm going to pass out a piece of paper, just take it, and then when I put something on the overhead here, you'll be able to mark your answer to some of these surveys. And on the back side of this paper supply, you'll see there's an application for Accent. The paper here from Holden Village comes out, I think, if I remember right, four times a year. And you might want to save the paper and apply for that subscription. Talking about planning, and I hope the whole week isn't representative of poor planning. That is maybe best described in this letter that a friend of mine received in California, and I'd like to read it to you. It's to the Republic Insurance Corporation, 20535 South Belshaw Avenue in Carson, California. Dear sir, I am writing in response to your request for additional information. In block number 3 of the accident reporting form, I put, quote, poor planning, unquote, as the cause of my accident. You said in your letter that I should explain more fully, and I trust that the following details will be sufficient. I'm a bricklayer by trade, and on the day of the accident, I was working alone on the roof of a new 6-story building. When I completed my work, I discovered that I still had about 500 pounds of brick left over. Rather than carry the brick down by hand, I decided to lower them in a barrel by using a pulley, which fortunately was still attached to the side of the building at the 6th floor. Securing the rope at ground level, I then went to the roof and swung the barrel out and loaded the brick into it. Then I went back to the ground and untied the rope, holding it tightly to ensure a slow descent of the 500 pounds of brick. You will note in block number 11 of the accident reporting form that I weigh 135 pounds. Due to my surprise at being jerked off the ground so suddenly, I lost my presence of mind and forgot to let go of the rope. Needless to say, I proceeded at a rather rapid rate up the side of the building. In the vicinity of the 3rd floor, I met the barrel coming down. This explains the fractured skull and broken collarbone. Slowed, only slightly, I continued my rapid ascent, not stopping until the fingers of my right hand were 2 knuckles deep into the pulley. Fortunately, by this time I had regained my presence of mind and was able to hold tightly to the rope in spite of my pain. At approximately the same time, however, the barrel of bricks hit the ground and the bottom fell out of the barrel. Devoid of the weight of the bricks, the barrel now weighed approximately 50 pounds. I refer you again to the weight. As you might imagine, I began a rapid descent. In the vicinity of the 3rd floor, I met the barrel coming up. This accounts for the 2 fractured ankles and the lacerations on my legs and lower body. The encounter with the barrel slowed me enough to lessen my injuries when I fell upon the pile of brick. Fortunately, only 3 vertebrae were cracked. I'm sorry to report, however, that as I lay there on the bricks, in pain, unable to stand, and watching the empty barrel six stories up, I again lost my presence of mind. I let go of the rope. Thank you, Joel Sherman. That's, and I hope I don't have that type of poor planning, but it can happen to the best. The survey that I'm going to ask you just to look at and answer just a few questions as the basis of our discussion, not only this afternoon, but during the week, is a survey, a public opinion project of an organization that I happen to be a member of the board. It's an Interaction, it's called. Interaction is an organization of 114 PVOs, as we call them, private voluntary organizations. Other parts of the world call the same kind of organization NGOs, non-government organizations. It's the product of this Interaction organization, which I was a member of the board at when this came out or was produced, and another organization, the Overseas Development Council in Washington, D.C., a think tank, which I am currently a member of its board. And it was an attempt to take a look at what Americans think about or what they think when it comes to foreign aid. The foreign aid legislation in the United States is one of the most unpopular pieces of legislation. And so we wanted to find out what did people think, not only among the general public, but among people who are policymakers in the Congress, at other levels of our life, public life. We're not going to answer all the questions, sorry, but we're going to look at some, and I'd like you to put down your answer for certain questions. And that's why on this slide here, it's number one, number three, A and B, and number four. Why don't you just take a look at that and try and decide what the two biggest problems facing the United States, in your mind, might be today. Of course, this was taken a couple of years ago, and we probably would have had different options for you. I see, Iran isn't there, and Afghanistan isn't there. The fact that Vietnamese troops are now pulling out of Cambodia isn't there. But take a look at those and see, tell us, in your mind, what the two biggest problems are. United States, if we, and you have four options, take an active part in world affairs, stay out of world affairs, don't know, no answer. Pretty easy. Three B, would you say that living conditions in poor countries of the world today are better than, about the same as, not as good as they were 10 years ago? And there again, you have five options: better, about the same, not as good, don't know, no answer. And then using a scale where one means not at all important and 10 means very important, please tell me how important you feel each of these countries is to the United States. Soviet Union, Mexico, India, Great Britain, Nigeria, China. Again, the bottom ones, for those who may not be able to see it, the Soviet Union, Mexico, India, Great Britain, Nigeria, China. Okay. Five A. Are you generally in favor of or opposed to U.S. giving of foreign aid? In favor, opposed, don't know, no answer. Five B, are you generally in favor of or opposed to U.S. giving economic assistance to other countries? And again, in favor, opposed, don't know, no answer. Then 6A, what is the most important reason to you for favoring or opposing foreign aid? And there you have on 6A, I don't know, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 items favoring foreign aid, and about 7 opposing. Favoring, you know, such things as should help, they need it, alleviate poverty, hungry.
You just have one there, one answer?
Yes, yeah. One of the most important reasons, yeah. We might make allies, good relations, responsibility of a rich nation, stimulate world economy, raise standard of living, world peace, stability, help countries become self-sufficient, keep communists out, promote democracy, freedom, justice, miscellaneous, no answer. Then opposing domestic poverty concerns. Doesn't do any good, right people don't get it, poorly handled, don't appreciate it, turn against us, nothing in it for us, U.S. budget deficit, they should solve their own problems, miscellaneous, no answer. And then number 7, are you generally in favor of or opposed to U.S. giving of military assistance to other nations to buy arms and train soldiers? On this page, just look at number 9, 10, 11, A and B. Do you think the U.S. government is doing more than it should, or about right amount, or less than it should to fight poverty in other parts of the world? Concerning the problem of hunger and poverty outside the United States, do you feel that people like yourself are doing all they can to solve it? It's much as can be expected, less than expected, or almost nothing at all. And then thinking about Latin America specifically, what do you think is the single biggest problem of the countries in Latin America? Having their bad leadership, unstable government, civil wars, poverty, hunger, malnutrition, lack of know-how, education, exploitation by other countries, poor economies, unemployment, debt, Nicaragua conflict, miscellaneous, don't know, no answer. How about all of the above?
Sure.
Well, we're looking just for the most single, you see.
Right. Down in Nicaragua, they all seem tied up. Got poverty and hungry because they've got poor economy, which may be related to bad leadership, and maybe trying to pay off the debts from the
They're all possibilities, absolutely. Just wondered what you think is the most significant. And then number 11, in general, do you think that the people in Asia, Africa, and Latin America view Americans as friends or enemies, generous or stingy? We could ask that same question that we asked for Latin America about Asia and Africa, but we shan't for purposes of time. But take a look at number 13, B. As you read the pairs of words, tell me which comes closer to your feeling about economic assistance to other countries. Is it cost-effective or a waster of money? And then B is the United States can afford it or we can't afford it. Third world is used to mean those countries in Africa, Asia, and Latin America whose economies and standards of living are lagging behind. The term developed nation is used to mean the United States and European and other countries that are richer and whose economies are fully industrialized. Please tell me whether you think each of the following has generally helped or hurt the people in the third world countries in the last few years. And there you have four items. How about military assistance to buy arms and train soldiers that the United States give to foreign countries? In your opinion, has it helped or hurt them? And there you have four answers, huh? How about economic aid for things such as healthcare, education, agriculture that the U.S. gives? Helped or hurt? Or don't know, or no answer. Investments by American corporations in the third world. Help, hurt, don't know, no answer. Loans made by commercial banks to third world countries. An issue we'll be talking in greater depth on Wednesday. And then that last one, 16, assume you're in charge of an aid for development in other countries. Using any number from 1 to 10 on a scale where 1 is the lowest priority and 10 is the top priority, please tell me how high a priority you would give to each of the following areas. Africa, Arab, Asia, Israel, Latin America, and Caribbean countries. And then we're almost finished. If you had to choose, which country should get U.S. aid? Which of these would you select as most important? Countries that are important to U.S. security, countries with the poorest economies, countries that the U.S. needs as trading partners? Don't know, no answer.
Just
choosing
one thing?
I'm sorry?
Just choosing one thing?
I didn't hear you still.
One thing?
Yeah. If you had to choose which country, which of these would you select as most important?
Yeah.
And then we'll look at 17, which is a rather long one. We've talked about countries which should have highest priority. Now let's talk about what kind of aid programs are important on a scale where 1 means lowest priority and 10 means top priority. Using any number between 1 and 10, where would you place these types of aid? And you have 8 of them, I guess, or close to 7. Relief for victims of disaster like floods, droughts, and earthquakes. giving money to third world countries to pay their foreign debts, building large projects such as roads, dams, and hospitals, using aid to help farmers in those countries buy seed and basic equipment, and you see the rest. I'm probably disturbing you by reading them. Skip down way here to 32, just to get some idea. Do you recall which two nations took part in SALT talks? Or the now known as the START talks? USSR, US, US, and USSR, other nations? Don't know, no answer. Do you happen to recall whether the U.S. or the USSR is in NATO? That is the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. Then one last question I'll give you verbally. Do you recall whether the Reagan administration supported the Sandinistas in Nicaragua or the Contras? Which one did the Reagan administration support? There was a question that asked you, and I'll find it and repeat it to you. What do you think Americans should do with regard to helping countries in the third world? Let me find that one. Lost the number.
Six A.
Six A.
I think so.
Oh, I had it. Yeah. What is the most important reason to you for favoring opposing foreign aid? Favoring 6A. We should help because they need it. To alleviate poverty, hunger. How many wrote that as their answer? Four. How about we might make allies of them and good relations? How about responsibility of a rich nation to do that? Stimulate world economy, raise standard of living. Two. Help countries become self-sufficient. Two, four, five. Mm-hmm. Keep communists out. Promote democracy, freedom, justice. Well, it's interesting that when this survey was taken, that most people, I think, felt, I don't know if I can find it here, that disease, hunger, poor health care, corruption, government, illiteracy were perceived to be problems. But they thought that we should be helping them because, not because for humanitarian reasons, but rather for reasons of U.S. security. What's in it for us? And the U.S. public also thought that we shouldn't be concerned, well, 53% of them said we should be concerned about overseas, but on the same side, some 60% thought we should be concerned more readily about domestic hunger and domestic problems. If you were here, was it this morning? Talking about ethics. And the question came up, who is your neighbor? You know, is it the person sitting next to you, or is it Dick over here on the other side? Or is it somebody over there in the room that Irving has got? Where do you draw the line? It's a real issue in the United States. We want to help if they're hungry or poor. And yet, we're not ready to provide the wherewithal, the financial resources to make it possible. The United States spends something like $15.2 billion a year for foreign aid. Most of that goes to military aid, and we'll be talking about that. In regular humanitarian aid, we give the smallest amount of any nation, developed nation in the world. 18 countries, including most of Europe, we're the 18th country. Ireland, Italy, all give more per capita than we give. We give 0.024, 0.2% of our GNP. I wish I had the figure, I'm sorry for our Canadian colleagues, but they're much higher than we are. And Norway is the highest, giving 1.4% of their gross national product to aid other countries. We give, and we don't even do that anymore, I was going to say we give the most in number of dollars, but we have now been passed by Japan, who gives more than we do. There are a lot of misperceptions that we Americans have about our role in the third world. Americans have strong negative perceptions about the third world. I heard it this morning from someone who said, well, we're never sure if it gets them, to the people, huh? 58% of the Americans wonder if the money or the food or the clothes that you give to, we'll say, your government or to Lutheran World Relief or Catholic Relief Service or CARE, does it really get to them? 58% of the people doubt it. And we seem to hold other countries to a higher level of responsibility and accountability than we hold ourselves. I happen to work in New York City. There's the most recent book out on New York City is titled City for Sale. And it is. The president of Brooklyn Democratic Party committed suicide about 2 years ago because he was involved in scams that were creaming off the top of the milk by $2 and $3 million a year. And I'm living in New Jersey, and it's surprisingly that when the highway is being paved, somehow the head of the highway department's personal driveway gets paved. It's really a coincidence. It's a miracle, really. We're talking about miracles in Bible study, and that's one of them. Although I suggest that miracles are something you can't explain. And in this case, it's not a miracle, it's graft and corruption. And yet we worry about what's happening in the third world. And there is a lot of that. But I can tell you from my own experience in Ethiopia, for example, in 1984 and 85, when we sent over 200, we, LWR, with the U.S. government help, about 200,000 metric tons of food. And I followed that from the port of entry, Port Sudan, through Sudan into northern Ethiopia, into the province of Eritrea and Tigray, and saw it literally given out at the village level under a tree, where the headmaster or the headman calls a family name and he knows how many children that individual has and gives him so many cans of wheat or corn, and that individual's got to press his name down on the register saying he got it. We followed it. And even if you lose 5 or 10%, it isn't much when you're moving that much food. But Americans feel, 58% of them, that corrupt governments are a very serious problem in the third world, and yet, you know, we don't seem to be too concerned. I don't know what you answered with regard to that, believe that aid is frequently misused by foreign governments. Most Americans are poorly informed about the U.S. government overseas and third world issues. Is U.S. or USSR, for example, a member of NATO? How many thought it was the U.S. member of NATO? How many USSR? How about, did the Reagan administration support the Contras or the Sandinistas? How many for the Contras? Well, this is an unusual group, you see. You read, apparently, and you stay up with the latest things.
What are the percentages?
Yeah. Well, the percentages out there was that only 2 out of 3 knew that the Reagan administration supported the Contras. 2 out of 3, which is, you know, 66%. Unlike the lady who was asked in New York when George Bush was vice president, you know, who's George Bush? Her reply was, I don't know, I just came to town yesterday. As though he was, you know, the local third baseman. I'm concerned, for example, when Americans locate the Soviet Union in the Panama Canal and Florida, where India is, and I'm not making these up. I'm concerned about that because particularly when they're opposed, we'll say, to apartheid, or they're opposed to our policy in Nicaragua, because I translate that to mean maybe they don't know where South Africa is. It might be, you know, in the next county or somewhere. And you might smile and say that isn't possible, but unfortunately it is. Is. 85% of Americans agree that Soviet aggression in the third world is the most serious problem for the United States. Now, you got to understand this was taken in 86, 3 years ago. Two-thirds of the American public reject the notion that it is in the interest, it is against the U.S. interest to help third world countries because they will compete with us economically and politically. And, you know, I served the United States government for 27 years. And yet I get disturbed, really, when I hear people who say, you know, we can't export jobs. And maybe you think that, and that's fine. The only thing I can say is that, you know, everybody I know in Korea or in India or somewhere else is a human being and has a wife and has got children. And yet we say, we can't export jobs, we got to keep the jobs here. And yet we have the highest standard of living almost in the world. Sweden is higher. And they certainly have a larger per capita income than we do. We've got to start thinking, and I will bring that up during the course of this week, that we've got to believe, and it's true, that to trade with other countries around the world is in our best interest. The reason we did the Marshall Plan, as you know, was to give Germany, get them up on off its knees and on its feet so they could buy from us. If we stop these things, stop the third world countries from having the ability to buy from us, and there are many of them, and they are growing, we're going to hurt ourselves. Well, I've talked a lot. I'm going to stop now. What do you think about this question about one of the questions we asked was, do you strongly support, somewhat support, that was number 23, nuclear freeze, organization working to, no, I don't, we didn't do that. No, no, we didn't do that, well, I'm sorry. Trying to find one here that I did. Do you think it will be best for the future of the United States if we take an active part in world affairs or stay out? Is that generally accepted here? Because, you know, in many parts of the country, it is not. There is a growing appreciation or a desire to have isolation. And that's a worrisome thing, I think.
Where do those people think we get these resources from?
Well, that's right. I don't know. I'm thinking of South Africa because I lived there for 5 years or more. The resources they have, of course, we have said that we would rather not get them at all, rather than to buy them and support apartheid. And so we've made a moral decision there, even though it may not be in our best economic interest. But one of the problems is that we are buying from the third world. And underpaying them for what they give us. I don't know the exact figures, but one time you could get a Jeep for 7 bags of cotton or something, and now it takes 24 or 25. Of course it's in our interest to work with the third world. But what about the fact that there's so much corruption in the third world? Is there a lot of corruption? What do you think about that?
About the same as it is in the United States.
Do you think so?
Well, perhaps not as much. I would say they have a little less, if anything. That's my view. Mm-hmm. From what I've read, whether I've read the facts or not, something else. Now, I do not class Haiti in that when I say that, because there's a separate situation in Haiti which the United States has ignored, and which poverty is rampant, and which the government is very corrupt.
And what about that? Should we be helping, for example, the president of Zaire, Mobutu, who is milking our government of billions of dollars? Do you think it would be wise of us to say we're not going to give you any more support down there? This is a problem that policymakers have.
It depends on whether it's going to the people or if he's getting it.
He's getting it. No question.
Then it has to be stopped.
He's built some 11 or 12 palaces, has four-lane superhighways running to these palaces. He builds airports out the middle of the jungle, and then he's got billions of dollars in Switzerland. And yet, he's a friend of ours in Central Africa. Really important. Should we continue supporting that, or do we, you know, make concern about the moral issue?
I think the moral issue has to be first.
Do you? Anybody, everybody agree with that?
What are we supposedly getting out of that?
Yeah, why is he a friend of ours?
Fortress against the Soviet?
Well, yeah, if he's there, then the Soviets aren't. Also, he's right in Central Africa. His country touches on, I don't know how many, 11 or 12 other countries in Central Africa. He votes for our way, I guess, in the United Nations and has influence among other countries. This is a problem. When Haile Selassie was in Ethiopia, do you remember Chiang Kai-shek, that great Christian Chinese? And because he was a Christian, we went along with him, and yet he was really running a very corrupt government. We support today Saudi Arabia, where slavery is still being pursued, even as we sit here talking. What do we do about all these places? Do we say we've got to stop it?
That would seem to me where the argument, where people start making the argument that we maybe do more harm than good, and that's maybe where isolationists get some of their fodder, is that in many cases we tend to do more damage than good abroad.
We, the United States.
Yeah. If we stop looking at our own personal economic interests and look at the interests of the people that are involved, probably an argument could be made that we aren't helping anyone.
That's where I find myself wanting to know, what kind of involvement will we have. I don't really want to give a blanket or a blank check kind of thing for, what our involvement will be. I find myself with, and I don't really know, interested in the kind of role we are playing in the implementing the resolution 435 in Namibia, where we have used, together with the Soviet Union and other forces, to seemingly bring about something there. Is that a possible, more of a model for the future? Is it a good model?
But in many ways, we've been blockage on that kind of thing from happening.
Yeah,
from our support.
Yeah, well, what about the Middle East? Of that $15 billion we have for foreign aid, let me tell you that between 75 and 80% of it go to two countries, Israel and Egypt. And then the next about 15 or 10% go to the Philippines, Turkey, Spain, Portugal. Who are they? Military-based countries, huh? And then you get a paltry, 10 to 5% that go to the other 120 countries. Is it right that we should be giving most of that aid to Israel and Egypt? Or if it is, why don't we do something about the Middle East?
Does the same law apply as applies to Israel, as I understand it, that private donations to Israel are untaxed, non-taxable, or count as tax deductions?
Well, I would think so. I mean, if you give money to LWR and you list your deductions, you're...
But I mean...
It's deductible.
He's saying direct.
Direct.
I don't know.
They have tax exempt status, I don't think so.
Israel does.
He does?
Yeah.
If I give $10 to Israel, I can deduct that from my income tax.
Right.
Right. It's the only country you can.
Is that right? Is that...
That about doubles what we give them in direct aid.
Zero.
The amount of money that goes there through private sources.
That's ridiculous.
And that doesn't even probably touch the, maybe the covert aid that Israel receives, because Israel's one of the larger weapon suppliers in Central America right now.
Well, that's another problem.
In Israel and China, right?
Well, Israel's probably got to be the largest.
Well, I think it is the largest, but I think China is next.
That'd have to be our money, you would think.
China is a huge world supply. That's why I thought it was kind of ironic when we cut off arms supplies to... I thought it was going the other way.
Well, this is the problem. India now is becoming an exporting country. Brazil, the eighth largest economy in the world, is now exporting arms. So. Mm-hmm. And all of these things impact upon people and their lives and their development and their relief and any other aspect. What about the issue about what are our interests in the third world? Do you agree or disagree that Soviet aggression in the third world is a serious problem, when some 85% said yes? From what you've read or heard, would you say that the economies of the country in the third world would affect U.S. economy a great deal, somewhat, not very much, not at all? And there, some only 25% say that what happens in the third world economies affects us. American views of economic issues are quite different than many others. We are largely concerned with the perceived benefits for other countries rather than on the grounds that it's actually or potential benefit to the United States by just a very small portion. Public opposition to economic assistance is based principally on the concern that domestic problems observe or deserve higher priority, when those who oppose economic assistance were asked to describe the reasons for doing so, they just said that domestic poverty must take the greater share of our concern. What do you think about that? Do you think that's right?
I actually think that domestic poverty in this country has been understated. And I'm from Florida. And I've been to Louisiana, Alabama, and those southern states there. I'm speaking now of course, basically the black, the Hispanic, the Cubans, and the Haitians that have come into this country. Uneducated, illiterate, buying dog food off the shelf because it looks good for the children that can't read. We have a problem here that it appears that our government and our agencies have neglected completely.
Why should it make any difference whether they're in the United States or, we'll say, in Cambodia or in Peru or in India?
It should not make any difference. But I do believe that we could tick the hearts of the American people if we presented it properly and it's in our own backyard first, and then we might get farther with something else beyond that area.
Okay.
So yeah, we have a Mobutu and the Navajo Indian Reservation right now doing exactly the same thing. Mm-hmm. To taking federal support to the Navajos to his own possession. And, you know, there's no question in my mind that, that all people deserve the help of all other peoples in the nation that can supply the help. And that we are conservative and our contribution is clear. But I think we have an immediacy of help at home. In some cases, we have a self-imposed legal responsibility we're not meeting.
But isn't it an either-or question? I mean, asking the question that way assumes that there isn't enough to go around.
Mm-hmm.
Is there enough to go around?
Well, you tell me.
Well, there's certainly not enough in terms of what we're giving to go around, but I don't think that means that there isn't enough in terms of resources that the American wanted to give that couldn't take care of hunger here and couldn't go a long way towards alleviating hunger other places. And I'm not talking about aid, but if you talk about fair payment for goods that we trade, if you talk about fair payments for the resources we take from other countries, we couldn't afford to live the way we do, but other people probably could afford to be fed.
Okay. Hands up there.
And I'm, if I understand correctly, concerned that what we call foreign aid, and I think you, if I understood you correctly, you also said that a large proportion of it actually is just military aid.
Mm-hmm.
And if you would make a distinction or fair terms for this aid that we give. And I, again, when you had the questions, one on foreign aid and economic assistance, and I didn't understand the difference between the two, but I'm always suspicious that they both are just heavily involved with just armament aid. And we think that that's humanitarian aid, and it's just heavily loaded.
At least 55% of our aid is military aid, at least 55%.
What is the distinction between when you have foreign aid and economic assistance? What's the difference between those two terms?
Well, foreign aid is usually, let me do it the other way. Economic assistance is usually under some type of a loan repayment to support the government of that particular country, whereas the foreign aid is more in the area of military, foreign training, such things as that.
It is a gratuity.
And it's usually a gratuity, yeah. You had your hand up.
Yeah, I guess I question whether the entire world can live with the standard that we live. I don't think this earth can support that. And we do need to be making some choices about when are we going to acknowledge that we must lower our standard of living in terms of raping the earth of its resources. Are we going to draw a line and say, okay, poor people, this is the highest level at which we will help support you live in living?
Do we expect that
we will all live at the same level, meaning bringing them up to our level? I don't see a great willingness on our part to lower our standard of living, but you know, where does the responsibility come from?
Yeah. That's one of the moral issues. And I again encourage you to come to our friend Father Grant and hear his discussions on ethics. Are we willing to reduce our level of living, our standard of living? Someone, that old cliche, you know, that someone said that we've got to live more simply so that the less people in the third world can simply live. And it's a question of whether we as Christians want to do that. It's a tough nut to crack, but that's the problem. Well, it's a little scattered this afternoon. Tomorrow we'll talk and we'll be a little more prepared on the third world. When we look at the third world, that world that we're trying to give some assistance to. Yes, ma'am?
Could we just, I'm curious, ask what people here put down for the answer to the first question you had, which of those seven or eight or nine things do we feel is the top priority in the United States?
Okay. What do you think are the two biggest problems facing the United States today? How many said, well, Libya, acts of terrorism. Gaddafi, I suppose you could have included there for Iran. How about the second one, U.S. economic, miscellaneous economic problems? Unemployment, welfare, poor people, homeless. Well, there we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. It's probably going to be the most, 12. Other foreign policy problems. Federal budget deficit. There are 4, 5. World peace, threat of nuclear arms. 1. Pollution. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. There's another 12. Crime and drugs.
I put that because it's caused by all at number 3, so it's like half for that and half for that.
How about Russia? Nobody, huh? Trade deficit? 2. Okay. Well, it seems the two biggest ones are unemployment and what was the other one?
Pollution.
Pollution. Two good ones. Thank you very much for this evening. It was